Many of us here today, not all of us, but many of us here today are of a pre-digital era, a time long before instant messaging and texting and emails, a bygone era when people wrote one another something they called letters. Now, whether they were longhand or typed, receiving a letter was a big deal. It meant that the letter writer had taken the time to sit down at their desk or at the kitchen table, pull out a card or a piece of stationery, and put thoughts down in black and white, thoughts that were meant for you. The letter was not just words. It was more than that. The letter was a window into the mind of the sender. It was a signal that what they had to say was important. It was so important that they wrote you a letter, and it was a sign that you mattered. And even more than that, in a way, a very real way, it brought the writer across the distance into your presence. You could almost hear them saying the words, and you'd remember what they looked like. My grandfather treasured letters, so much so that he would take them, and after they had been read and reread, he would place them in the volumes that lined his vast bookshelves. He loved to read, and more than that, he loved to reread. And so when he pulled a favorite volume off the church to read it once again, he would find in it a letter from years before between its pages. And he would be transported back in time and find himself with an old friend and read about what was going on in their life years earlier. You know that it wasn't just words. When you were stationed overseas during the war, and the mail call came and there was a letter for you, you held in your hands a piece of home. When you're off in college, away from home perhaps for the first time, that letter from mom was a 7.5 by 11 inch parchment of love. And so it was for that gathered church in Thessalonica long ago. It wasn't just words. Paul's letters were understood by those who received them and by the church down the centuries. They were understood as not just words, but as conveyors of the gospel, clues to the good news of Jesus Christ being lived out in a new community of faith, struggling to make it real in their time and place. And here, in his very first letter that we have, Paul reminds a church which he had founded that the good news of Jesus Christ in and of itself was not just words. He writes, "When the message was preached to you, it wasn't just words. Something happened in you. The Holy Spirit put steel in your convictions." It wasn't just words, Paul tells that church at Thessalonica. The change produced by the gospel in their lives is visible for the world to see. The interchange is reflected in outer behavior. Paul writes, "You don't even have to say anything anymore. You are the message." As almost 1,000 years later, St. Francis of Assisi told his friars as he sent them off to distant cities and towns, "Preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words." That lived example, Paul tells us, it's not our doing. As Paul writes to the Thessalonians, "It is clear to us, friends, that God not only loves you very much, but also has put his hand on you for something special. We often don't think of the gospel like that. We think it's God's word to us, God's words for us, words that we are to listen to digest, chew on, think about. But Paul says it is more than that, more than just words. It is as if God has laid God's hand on your shoulders, empowering you, commissioning you for something special. You have been transformed, and now you can do far more than you had ever thought was possible. Call it grace. Amazing grace. And so it was in Thessalonica. So much so that people come up to Paul in a distant town, to Timothy and Silas, his co-workers in the gospel, and they tell them what they have heard about that church up in Thessalonica. How it is so welcoming and inclusive. How its members live dramatically changed lives. How they have turned away from the worship of dead idols to the living and true God. And so it is in West Barnstable. Now, no one would say that we are a perfect church. And God knows that we know that the road is long and the journey is hard. And yet today I would put on a little bit of Paul the Apostle and tell you that the word is getting around and that people are looking up to you. And a folk from across the Cape and across the state and even in the national setting of the United Church of Christ are taking notice of what this 403-year-old congregation is doing. People are saying, and they've been saying this for a long time now, that our Rooster Crows Fair is the best church fair on the Cape. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Not just because of our savory lobster rolls and the beautiful handmade crafts and the variety of silent auction items, but because everyone at the fair, everyone who works the fair, is so welcoming and friendly. People are talking about our caring ministries, about how we rally around each other when someone is ill. They're talking about our lay caregiver ministry, about our new support group for caregivers. When Gail Rockwell, Trisha's beloved friend and a beloved member of this congregation, was ill over the 4 or 5 months that she was ill, well over a dozen members of the congregation were there for her at the hospital, at rehab, helping her with her meals, visiting with her, talking with her, supporting her in any way we could. And people noticed. The word is out across the United Church of Christ at the state and national levels about our innovative, growing Saturday contemporary service, about how while church schools are drying up everywhere, ours is expanding. Young families are talking up our caring, professional, excellently run and staffed family school, so much so that it is full to capacity and with a wait list. You might have been reading about the trouble of the Cape Cod Collaborative Child Care Network here on Cape Cod and how it's been shut down and all the problems it had over there and all the families struggling to find placements for their children. We don't have those family problems at the family school, but it is so professionally run, so caring. What a loving environment they have there. People come to our outreach summer yard sale and they go away raving about how kind everybody is, about how generous we are, about how we are such kind hagglers. Basically, you want us, give us a price, fine. About how we go the extra mile, as exemplified by Bruce Benwood loading a huge piece of exercise equipment into his pickup to deliver it to a home, to a West Barnstable resident here. 5 evenings a week, Jenkins Hall is packed to the gills with folk here for the AA meeting, thankful that we are willing to host what for many is a lifeline to new life. The church's sister organization here on this hill in West Barnstable, the 1717 Meeting House Foundation, invites in the community for a variety of musical performances, lectures and debates, poetry readings, and historic reenactments. And people are talking about this old meeting house and what goes on here. The word is getting out about how this gathered fellowship of Jesus Christ is both in and for the community. It is true for this church community, and it is true for its members, for you as individuals. You have known in your life that the Holy Spirit has indeed put steel in your convictions, that when it seemed that you, when you were alone, you felt a presence buoying you up, equipping you for the challenges that life dishes out. That when you felt you had come to the end of your rope and were ready to give in to that addiction, you found the strength to say no. That when a new opportunity for service popped up and you feared that you had nothing left to give, you found the willingness to say yes, and you were found that you were so glad that you did. That enlivening presence, that empowering spirit, that unexpected strengthening of will, all more than just words. Something happened in you. Something happened in the gathered body of Christ. It's grace. It's amazing grace. And how sweet the sound.